Hi, ladies. Welcome to our online version of our ladies' Bible study that we're doing right now. He Restores My Soul. We're looking in depth at Psalms 23. Just to give you a little background in case you're curious, we are meeting on Sunday mornings, 10-ish, and we are meeting under the pavilion. And as long as the weather stays good, that's what we're going to do. You can social distance under the pavilion with the picnic tables and just the picnic tables. That's all. We're outside. That's what I was going with. Yeah, we're outside and doing that. So we would love to have you join us if you would like to. But we will also be posting this each week, probably Tuesday or Wednesday. I'll be posting a video. And then if I do it correctly, then we'll also be posting a podcast. So if you're listening to the podcast, then you know I did it correctly. So, you know, kudos to me there. Also, we would just love to have you pop into our Caffeinated Connections Facebook group and just, you know, let us know you're there, comment, give us some love there. We like that. So do we know that you're listening and checking in? Okay, ladies. So we are going to be digging into Psalms 23. And so I'm actually going to read it from the Message version. So I'm sure, you know, if you've got King James, you got NIV, whatever you've got there at the house, if you want to read through that too at some point, that'd be great. But for tonight, or it's tonight when I'm recording this, I'm just going to quickly read through Psalms 23. I think it brings just in the Message version, just brings a little different insight to it. Okay, so I'm gonna do that real quick. I am reading from my screen over here. So Psalms 23 from the Message. God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find me quiet pools to drink from. And true to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I'm not afraid when you walk at my side. Your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a 6-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. So our focus really is on He Restores My Soul, which I love that in the other versions get too. But also the Message, the phrase that how they translate it right there is, it goes, true to your word, you let me catch my breath. I mean, do you feel that? I felt that one kind of deeply when I read it. I was like, yes, I need to catch my breath. Sometimes we just feel so overwhelmed. Things are going on in life. You know, it doesn't matter. And this is not even, you know, it cannot even be pandemic related. It's in relationships. It's in jobs. It's in, you know, parenting. It's in just everyday life sometimes that we just really need to catch our breath. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit over the next 4 weeks. We're not really going to quite get there today. We're going to be talking about how the Bible refers to us as sheep pretty often, and if that's a good thing or a bad thing. We'll talk about the Good Shepherd, and then we're going to talk about restoration so that He restores my soul. We're going to kind of dig into that a little bit. And then I'm going to give you a little prayer challenge to end out our night tonight. So thanks again for tuning in and joining us. So first, let's talk just a little bit about why the Bible compares us to sheep. It's used a lot, and it's really prevalent in the Old Testament and also the New Testament. And, you know, it's used multiple times. I guess part of it is that it was a common thing, like people understood it. So when they're talking about sheep, people in Bible times there, it was an easy thing for them to understand. But I just got to thinking a little more about it, and I read a couple of books and some articles, and so you may hear me reference those some throughout the next couple of weeks. You definitely will hear me reference them, I'm sure. But so just back to the sheep analogy, though. Have you ever heard that sheep are dumb? I have heard this all my life. I've heard that sheep are dumb and sheep are smelly. And I've heard that that they just, you know, they have no intelligence about them at all because they're so easily led, you know, they're startled easily, all those kinds of things. So that's what I'd heard all my life about sheep. So when I was starting to look at this, I was like, you know, is it really a good thing that God calls us sheep? I don't know. And then, you know, now there's that thing like people are like, oh, y'all are just sheep to the slaughter. You know, you're just following along with everybody else. And I started to think about it and I was like, man, you know, it's not just God uses the analogy. It's in the Bible, so it's okay. But I'm just saying, I wasn't sure about it. I was like, man, that might not be the most flattering. Maybe I should say it that way. It might not be the most flattering description of us. But then I did a little investigating on sheep. Did you know that sheep are actually pretty intelligent for an animal? I mean, they're not going to become doctors or lawyers or anything, but they're pretty intelligent. They're complex and they're extremely sociable. They love being in their little community group. They're very, very social and extremely emotionally attached to each other. Sounding a little more like people? I think so. Okay, so I checked out this veterinary website, and this is actually a direct quote from them. Sheep are likely to be more intelligent than generally regarded. They respond readily to food calls, they may problem solve, learn their names, carry packs, and can even be clicker trained. They also, one study said, and I don't know how they test this, but they said that a sheep could remember up to 50 different human and other sheep faces for as long as 2 years in the past, like seeing it one time or getting to know them, I guess, and then going back 2 years later. It's pretty impressive. So then I read another thing from a current shepherd, a guy who, that's his job right now. He's a shepherd. And he said that sheep have gotten a bad rap on their intellect level because of their flocking instinct. He said what they have is community-based survival. They don't have good defenses. Their defense is to run. They just flee. And so they don't fight back. But they do intelligently use what they have, which is their strength lies in numbers. So if sheep are actually pretty intelligent, they're complex, they're sociable, they're very emotional, and their strength lies in numbers. Sounding a little more like a pretty good description of church and people, right? Not such a bad idea. It's a good example of us because we do need each other. We need a community. We need a community of believers. And that is what church can be. That is what this online group can be. We just need to find it. It doesn't mean we don't have to define it in this, in a certain way, maybe what I define it as, but we all need some sort of community of believers to attach ourselves to be part of that flock. So thankful that our church was able to really, I mean, we just pivoted, you know, right there and just went to online services. I mean, it was actually pretty amazing that I don't even want to know all of the technical and things that had to go into that, but it was super impressive that we were able to do that and become that, that online version of church. And so we were able to stay connected, but I'm not sure that we always have felt still as a community in that. So one of the things that we're working on through things like this, so we're not saying anything is bad that we've done in the past or that, but we really want to encourage you to reach out and be part of that community and to actually interact with us. So I'm going to give you a little challenge. Ladies, if you're watching, please leave us a comment. Just leave a comment. I'm not fishing for compliments. Not about that at all. We just would really like to know that you watched and did it help? Do you enjoy seeing these things? And then feel free. I know it is a public group, but if you need prayer for something, if you need us to, if you just want to share something, maybe something was encouraging to you this week, something that happened, we would love to hear it. So please leave us some love down in the comments, okay? We would like that. So that leads us to our next little point right here, that sheep actually suffer anxiety when they're separated from their flock. And I don't want you to be separated. We don't want to be separated. Sometimes we intentionally separate ourselves, and sometimes we need a breather. We do need a little breath and step back from things, and that's okay in certain situations, but we need to make sure that we're not isolating ourselves. And when we're isolating, we're pulling back completely, and we're just completely removing ourselves from the things that we know could help us. So we want to be really careful about that because our survival rate is greater in numbers, just like our little sheep there. Okay. So I asked the ladies on Sunday, I was like, just look around you, look at the people sitting next to you. We need each other. So I want you to think just for a second, look at your Facebook friends, the people in your household, think about somebody at church there. And we need each other. We cannot do it alone. It's not a matter of strength or weakness. It's like, I'm strong enough, I don't need that. Or old people are weak who need other people. It's not that. We are designed to be together. We are designed to be a flock of sheep together, and that when we isolate ourselves, not only do we isolate ourselves from each other and from the other members of our community, we also isolate ourselves from our shepherd. And we were not designed to be sheep without a shepherd. So which brings us to our next little point of the good shepherd. Again, the Psalms, and they use it so often about how him, God being our shepherd there. But probably the best one would be when Jesus himself says it. And so it's John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. I'm going to read that one to you. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. A good shepherd, a shepherd who, I'm talking about a big conglomerate, you know, somebody who's a hired hand there, but someone who owned his own sheep and they were his livelihood. If he lost a sheep, then, you know, he was losing part of his income. He was losing part of the food for his family. He was losing, a certain sheep that was good to, you know, for his breeding line and for, you know, moms and lambs and all those things. It was really important. It was really important. So that's why he was willing to lay down his life for his. They were his, and it was very important to him, and it was necessary to him. So we want to keep that in mind, that's why we know that he's our, that's that analogy for being a good shepherd. One of the other things is that I read, it talked about how that to have a healthy flock, a good shepherd knows that he has to focus on the health of each individual sheep. So even though you want the health of your flock, you're leading the whole flock to eat. You're leading the whole flock to get some water. You're, you know, taking care of the whole flock. But you have to check each individual one. And I thought that was, again, such a beautiful picture of how Jesus is our good shepherd. Even though he cares for the church and cares for all of us, he cares individually for each of us and our needs and what's going on in our lives. And then it talked about how that the sheep are so emotionally connected that if one of them is sick, the others are sad about it. They actually can experience grief and sadness through that too. So this really shed new light for me on the parable about the lost sheep. In Matthew 18, when the shepherd leaves the 99 to find the one. And I've always thought about it from the perspective of the one, which I love. I love that the shepherd is willing to leave the 99 who are safe and secure and go out and find the one, because that one is lost and needs to be found. But even more so, or maybe in the same token there, the shepherd is going because the health of all of the flock depends on finding that one. They're not whole, they're not complete, they're not happy unless all of them are together. And I thought that was just another beautiful picture of how he cares for the whole flock, and yet that it breaks it down into an individual. Because, guys, I know that you're thinking probably like I am maybe at this moment of ones that I'm so glad he's willing to go find, because I'm not whole. I'm not at peace when there are still ones out there lost or sick or hurting. We want him to go find those ones, but he does it not just for them, but for us. I mean, it's like a, you know, it works all together there. It's pretty awesome there on that one, I thought. So that leaves us too. So we've talked about being sheep. We talked about how he is our good shepherd. And now we're going to touch just kind of briefly on restoration. So we will finish up or get to our third point. It's not quite finished yet. With talking about restoration. I'm going to read the first three verses of Psalms 23 to you from the NIV version this time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. And actually, I think that's New King James maybe. Yeah, New King James version, not NIV. So when I think of restoring something, I often think of like a really old, battered, beat up piece of furniture. And I love a good before and after. You've seen like the makeover shows on TV, especially houses and stuff. I love those. I love how they take an old house and then they restore it. And amazingly, they just do it all within an hour, you know, so, or half an hour is even better. But when they're restoring these things, it obviously takes a lot longer than that. It takes a lot of time, a lot of patience, a lot of supplies, and a lot of elbow grease. And so when we are talking about restoring our soul, and even though God can do it just like that, and he can bring us peace and restoration into our souls, it's probably not going to go just like that. And so that's kind of where we're going for the next couple of weeks. We'll be digging into ways that I feel we can share about how God can restore our soul. But before that, I'm going to tell you one more little sheep story, okay? So domesticated sheep, not like wild, bighorn sheep or anything, they cannot survive without a shepherd. And it's really rare for them to, and if they do, it's probably going to make the news, just like Shrek the sheep. I think he was in New Zealand, and you can Google a picture of Shrek the sheep and you can find it. But so he's the type of sheep he is, he really needed to be sheared once a year. And so that's normal, because if not, then their fleece grows just out of control. So he evaded his shepherds for 6 years. He had all this extra wool that he was carrying around. 60 pounds of it when they finally caught him and were able to shear him. He couldn't hardly move with those 60 pounds, probably, is what was happening. Typically, they shear off about 15 pounds a year. So this was, I mean, it was a lot. I don't know why Shrek was avoiding being sheared. I don't know if it just made him uncomfortable. I don't know if it was inconvenient. I don't know if it actually hurt. I don't know if he didn't like the clippers, if he didn't like his shepherd. I don't know what was his problem. I don't know what was his excuse. But I know that he avoided something that he didn't want to do, something that was uncomfortable, something that was tough for him, for whatever thing. And that's where we are sometimes in our restoration process. It's not a 2-minute prayer on a Sunday morning. It will take work, and it will probably be uncomfortable. We cannot think that we can keep coming to God, asking our requests, just saying it very simply, you know, like, I mean, or just asking it even, and not change. If we don't change, our situation is not going to change. If we want God to change something, we have to change something. Jesus told the disciples when they asked about, I think it was when they were trying to cast out a demon there, and they told him that these things only come about by prayer and fasting. The Israelites had to circle Jericho 7 times. Naaman had to dip in the river 7 times. Peter had to get out of the boat. And my favorite example is the woman with the issue of blood. She had been sick for 12 years. And the scripture, the story is just so short. It's just her popping in. You're like, oh, she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And he knew someone had touched him and healing had gone out. And it's so cool. It's such a cool story. But she didn't just happen to touch him when he walked by. She didn't happen to just, you know, she had to fight through the crowd. They talked about what a crowd it was. And if you're touching the hem of somebody's garment, you're not touching him on his shoulder. She wasn't grabbing him, you know, on the side and bumping into him that way. She had to get down on the ground and probably crawl through some people or take a chance of being trampled. She took a risk. She took a risk to get her healing. I wonder how many times she tried before she was successful. Ladies, that can be us sometimes. Sometimes we have to try a lot of different ways. We have to try some risks. We have to do something different. But we have to get in out there, put ourselves out there a little bit. And I don't mean out on the internet. And I don't mean out for other people. I mean really, truly opening up to God and trying to find out what He has for us and what He needs from us in that. And it can be scary and it can be uncomfortable. We've got those places, we've all got them, where something that we've hidden away and we're like, you know what, I'm good, I'm surviving, life is good, but I got this little area and I'm just going to leave that one alone because it hurts. It hurts when I talk about it. It hurts when I look at it. It hurts when I want to show other people and I don't want to talk about it anymore. And those are tough areas, but we have to make sure that we're allowing God into those places so that He can restore them. So I know this is not the most uplifting part of our lesson there. And I hope that we get to more over the next couple of weeks, but I feel like we have to do this in order to move forward. So I hope that you'll join me in thinking about that and thinking about some areas and being brave. You can do it, ladies. You can do it. You can be brave and take those places where it hurts and where it's uncomfortable, and we can let God in and we can allow Him to heal those places. And it might not be instant. Probably won't be. But we can allow Him to get in there and really do a work in our lives. The last thing, and that's kind of leads us into our praying and our prayers, that I feel like that we need to step up our game, girls. That's what we need to do. We have really got to be serious about these. When we've got these special requests and these things that are going on, we've got to be intentional and we've got to hit the throne room and like we mean business. The disciples didn't ask Jesus how to preach. They didn't ask Him to teach them how to tell parables or how to heal or save. They asked Him to teach them how to pray. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Mark Batterson, the author, says, if we change the way we pray, everything changes. It changes the way we work, the way we parent, the way we think, the way we feel, the way we speak, the way we prioritize and strategize. It changes everything from the inside out. He goes on to say we have two options, to pray about it or not to pray. If we choose not to pray, then we're choosing not to do anything about it. We're giving up. And I don't want you to give up, ladies. I hope that we can look at this as an encouragement, that you can see the options that we have there, that we can be, that there are options, that there is hope, and that there is encouragement ahead of us. I'm going to say a quick prayer. It's probably already been way longer than I meant for it to be. Hopefully I can clean it up a little bit for you. But ladies, thanks for joining us. I'll post another one next week sometime. And if you can join us in person, we would love that. On Sundays, when I say 10-ish, because it's really after the 9 a.m. worship service, so we don't start right on the dot. You can enjoy all of 9 a.m. worship if you're attending the early service, and then just come join us whenever. And if you haven't heard me say this before, bring your kids, let them play on the playground if you're comfortable with that. Bring an iPad and coloring book for them. They're more than welcome. We really want to see all of you there. So I'm just going to close us with a word of prayer. Thank you again for joining us. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you and praise you for this day. God, I thank you, Lord, for the ladies who've been able to join us, God, both in person and online. And we pray, God, that you would just help us to see, God, how that we need to be connected to each other, how you've designed us for that. Oh, God, that we could just lean on you as our good shepherd. You provide all the good things for us, and you want to restore our souls. You want that for us, God. Lord, I pray, God, for that restoration God, to help us to be brave. God, help us to be brave and bold. God, to dig into some areas, Lord God, that we need to fix, God, because even if we think they're not, Mom mentioned it when we were talking there at the end of our in-person class, God, about how that bitterness is like a root, and it just ends up, it just keeps growing in our heart, God, and we don't want that, Lord. If there are areas, God, that have that bitterness, that ugliness, God, that we need to deal with, God, I pray that you just give us, Lord God, the boldness, God, the braveness, God, that we need to go forward in that. God, I thank you for each of these ladies, and we just love them so much, God, and we're so thankful that they are a part of our church and our church community, whether it's online or in person. Thank you, Lord. I ask you to bless each of them this week. God, in your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks, ladies. Again, hope to see you in person or on video next week. Thanks.